I think what we've had to do is set ourselves a reasonable worst case scenario, so something we can plan against, because you're right, it is very unpredictable at the moment and it's completely unprecedented. So we've used really experience from the past in other disruptions we've had at Porta Dover and Eurotunnel to understand what that can do to the strategic road network and to the local road network, and then how that might actually impact on communities. And that's really set a scene for us in terms of what we needed to do and how we needed to do it. The difficulty has been the timescales that we've had to do it in, which have been very short compared to other events, for example, like the Olympics that we planned for. We've certainly got the baseline information that we need. We've got the good grounding of work that we've done in terms of plans and training and exercising, which are all really important. But we still wait on a daily basis for information from government, and particularly this week. So we will have to think about, if we end up in a situation where we have a deal, well, what does that mean? Or if there's an extension to Article 50, what things do we need to stand down and what things do we need to continue with? But we're used to working in those kind of dynamic situations where information comes in thick and fast and we have to choose what's important and what we need to react to. And in the past months, there's been a lot of engagement with government to get as much information that we can. But yeah, we are used to it from dealing with emergencies. So when we have flooding or snow or any other disruption that's happened on the motorways, we work very dynamically as a partnership and we share information. We cooperate very well with each other in Kent. We also talk to other local resilience forums as well. So at the moment, that's all been happening steadily. And we're in a position now, through the training that we've done and the testing that we've done, to move it up a gear if we need to.
If I can talk a little bit about people who are maybe stockpiling a lot of food and a lot of supplies, would you say that's maybe a stretch too far? Or do you think, you know, maybe they're right to be a little bit cautious and they're right to, you know, really prepare in quite an extreme scenario?
I think people make decisions either on instinct or on information. And if they've got the instinct that they want to stockpile, then that's one thing. But have they had the information to say they need to? And I'm not so sure that that's the case. So for me personally, I haven't chosen to stockpile. What we have done as a partnership is to speak to supermarkets and talk to the government agencies responsible for food supply. And I don't think it's something that the public need to be really worried about. And what I think is more important, that the public actually build their understanding of what Brexit might mean to them in general. So if they're businesses, to make sure they're ready to trade with the EU, or if they're planning trips abroad, particularly over the Easter period, that they're talking to their operators and making their own decisions based on the information that's available then. I'm feeling quite calm this week in spite of everything, because I feel that we're as ready as we can be, and that's because of the month's work that we've put in. There's been extra training courses we've put on for people with command roles, and even today those are going on in the background. We've developed plans that will hopefully keep the traffic moving in Kent and keep the people safe, and certainly the responders that are working there too. And we've also got a better understanding about the kind of impacts that the communities might experience, and make sure that we've all got business continuity plans in place to deal with those as well.